The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the last hour of this Wednesday's show. I hope you're all keeping very well indeed. Well done to Julie, sending love. That comes in from Mary C. If public representatives tell you off the record that Letterkenny Hospital is underfunded, but you have to toe the party line, then are they actually representing their constituents at all? What's the point in having a view but being prevented from uttering it publicly? Maybe we should have a government that has got no political parties, just a collection of elected people working for the good of everyone. Having to support an issue that your electors don't believe is correct is not democracy. Now, this is a minister from outside of the county that I bumped into. Not one from within the county. All these climate change warriors all have forgotten the Ice Age period and why the climate heated up back then to melt it all. Could it be that it was just the natural cycle of things, that the earth heats up and then cools down over time? If that's what you want to believe, that's okay. Hi, Greg. Most of the consultants we met over the last few days in the ED have only been there 10 months, another 4 months plus just arrived. That's what we're told by them when talking to them. They were run off their feet. Pure madness up in the ED there. And on it goes. Thank you for all of your comments coming in. Right, okay. Wellness Wednesday. Brendan Kilkenny emailed us about his experience of loneliness and the steps he's taken to tackle it. He joins us on the programme now, Brendan, and maybe this can be an inspiration to others or a pathway to others. Brendan, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Greg. Hi, Donegal.
And it's good to have you with us. Right, okay. So, loneliness. Is it subjective? Is it easily recognisable to everybody? What is, in your mind, loneliness? Or what was the loneliness that you felt, Brendan?
Yeah, very understandable. Basically, a person who's very outgoing, very extrovert, basically ran a lot of friendship clubs back in the 90s, was a disc jockey on a lot of radio stations playing love songs, etc. And I finished up my last 8.25 years before retiring. 370 people. I adored the people. We worked together all week and we partied at the weekend out on a Friday night together. So, 9th of April 2021, the middle of COVID, Brendan retires. He goes from 370 people to one person. I had family, I had some friends, and I had invitations every now and again to go back with my workmates, but they were very sporadic because COVID changed everything, hybrid working, etc. They didn't go out on Friday nights, etc. So when people said, "Bren, how is your retirement going?" I was 90% truthful. Mm. It's a fairy tale. All the time in the world to do the things I never had time to do. Joined a pitch and putt club, play pitch and putt. Listened to all the records I never had time to listen to. Read all the books I never had time to read. But I was doing all this by myself. I was in my own headspace for 2.5 years.
Now, before we move on, Brendan, and I want to pick up from there, and I will, Brendan, but I just want to get an insight into it. Like, your experience of loneliness and being on your own effectively, Was it exacerbated by COVID, or do you think that even in the absence of COVID, that those invitations from former colleagues fall away?
And, yeah,
you know, those friends that you had something in common, be it the work or whatever, that they fall away? And your experience was during COVID, but I think a lot of people, even with the death of a partner, that those sort of connections can fall away in any case, if you know what I mean. Do you think that is the case, Brendan?
You have a certain point there, Greg, but my experience was so huge there, and they used to get me to go around all the building and do the speeches when people were leaving and when people were having parties, etc., birthday parties, that mine was such a close one with them that I believe that I would have been, my social life would have been quite still big without COVID with them. But COVID came along and I knew things had changed forever. And of course, there might be a bit that people move on. You retire, you move on, people move on. But I've no doubt that except for COVID, I probably wouldn't be in this situation. But ifs and buts made pots and pans. Basically speaking, we have to deal with reality. And I knew, Brendan, no one's going to come knocking on your door to get you out of this. I want to be part of a big community again.
Yeah.
But how am I going to do that? I'm retired. I'm cut off a lot, I am, from the world that I had.
Mm.
So basically, 2.5 years sailing along, drifting aimlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said to myself at the beginning of September, you've got to be proactive, Brendan. You've got to reach out and you've got to make it all happen again. And I asked myself one question. Are you capable of doing this? And I said 100%.
Yeah.
So I went out into the big world again. And in 10 weeks, well, it was in 3 days, my life totally transformed. And now I want to transform other people's lives.
So, you know, you're
if you want to ask me quickly how I did that.
I will, of course, I'll get to that. But I want to talk about your 2.5 years of... You know, happiness, really, playing pitch and putt, out doing your own thing, reading the books that you want to read, listening to the records that you want to.
Loads of time.
Afterwards, did you say, was I happy or was it just, was I running the clock down or something? Do you know what I mean? Or was there a moment that you said that, right, this is not for me here. This is not the person I was.
Mm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, right throughout, Greg, the 2.5 years, it was a corollary thing. Parallel thing. I was doing all this, but I said to myself, you're doing most of this by yourself, but you're a people person. So basically, I was happy in a way, but I wasn't fulfilled. And there was a part of me, a small part of me that was existing rather than living. See, living is being around people, I think anyway. Living is, getting that adrenaline rush, having a few challenges in your life. And they were no longer there, Greg. So this 2.5 years of sailing along, for me, it had to come to an end.
Yeah.
But it took a long time for me to realise that, hey, this is nowhere near enough for you, Brendan. You've got to have a load of people around you again to do this. And I'm even more convinced after I did it, I am totally inspired now. I have a massive purpose in life. I could hide away now and say, you've solved your problem. Be selfish and don't tell people how to go about, maybe if you're lonely in Donegal listening to Brendan here. But I couldn't be that selfish person. Mm-hmm. I want to let people know out there that the feeling you get when you're around people, like I'm going in today to a thing between 1 and 4, a club that saved my life in Dublin. And I'm so looking forward to it. A live band, 100 people, and basically I'm going to be out dancing on the floor. And I hadn't been bopping consistently on the floor since my 20s. And now in my 60s, I'm having the time of my life.
Okay.
And
we know where you're at now, but we also know where you were, and you've done this in short shrift. So, what advice can you give people? Just before you go to that, Brendan, we have discussed on this program, there's an awful lot, even in a rural part of the world like the Northwest, there's an awful lot of different things going on in different communities, be it bowling, be it dancing, social dancing, artistry, community work. There is lots of men's sheds. There is lots of stuff out there. Now, access can be an issue in terms of travel, but listen, maybe we can overcome that. So what I'm saying is this is not a sort of a Dublin solution to a Donegal problem, because we do have quite a lot going on up here. So, right. You said, right, enough is enough.
Why are the people lonely still then? What is it partly to do with them then, that they're not being proactive? Or are they sitting down like I was?
Well, I'll tell you what happens, what can often happen, is you're local in this part of the world. Firstly, you retire or you're somewhat older, although there's people in their 50s. It's often referred to up here as rural isolation. The local pub that you used to go to, the local pub you used to go to is closed. Or maybe you don't play golf anymore because your knee's gone. The post office is closed. So that interaction that you had with people is gone. Maybe the local shop is gone. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Maybe we have lost our sense of community, that we don't call around and see how each other are because we're all fearful or something or other. Yeah. I think there's many. Maybe your partner passed away and they were the social one that you went along to things with. You know, Brendan, in my experience from chatting to people, people find themselves in the situation rather than it being a choice. But it's then us empowering ourselves to sort of, you know, to start engaging with people again. Because you know yourself, when you sort of stop hanging around people and talking to people, the longer you leave it, the kind of more awkward it can be to sort of to take those first steps. You can kind of get somewhat institutionalized in yourself.
You settle for it, Greg. Mm. You settle for it, and this is going to be my life the next 20 years. Yeah. No, I know exactly what you're saying. And Greg, before I go, can I just say,
you're not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere, Brendan. You're going to tell me what you did to get from dancing on a Wednesday night from a few months ago, sort of, you know, listening to music on your own, thinking this must be more to my life than this. So what did you do, Brendan?
Basically, I this five-step plan that I have, and it's not rocket science. You've gone through a bit of it yourself. There's things up in Donegal for people to do, but there might be various help thing. There might be the pub closed, might be people kind of settling for a quiet life. But this five-point plan, all you have to do is hit lucky with one of the 5 points, and you don't have to do the other four. Can I start off with the one that worked for me
and
that changed my life? It was basically going to a search engine, say Google or whatever, and I'm going to do it for a Donegal listeners. You put in either friendship clubs in Donegal or social clubs in Donegal. Mm-hmm. Now, it mightn't be as easy to come up with as in Dublin, but in Dublin, one kept coming up all the time, and that was the one that changed my life out of the two that I joined. Now, that's one. That worked for me. But could this one work? It couldn't be more simple. Now, I have shops in Palmerston, West Dublin, where I am. There's about 11 or 12 shops. I'm not sure. In the country, it could be a bit different. But what you do is, you're lonely. You've lost your confidence. You've lost your mojo. You have the head down when you're walking out, and you mightn't kind of be looking for too much eye contact. I don't care when you knock out your door to get your pint of milk or your loaf of bread if your head is down. But when you reach that first shop in Donegal, locally, wherever you are, I want you to put your head up, but don't go into the shop. Look at the window, the shop window, and see, is there any little small notices or a big poster? The little small notice might advertise a coffee morning. The big notice might say a dance. Now, you mightn't be ready for a dance, but take down the phone number, ring the phone number and say, I'm lonely. I have been lonely for a while. I'm not ready for a dance. But is there anything in the area where people can come together for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and have a chat? The poster, so that's the dance one. The coffee morning could be on a little small notice. Now, you might say, hey, I've been lonely for a long time. I wouldn't have the confidence to go in to 20 people for a coffee morning. But the thing is, no gain without pain. Basically, which would you prefer? Be by yourself for the next 20 years or be uncomfortable temporarily and walk in? Just say something like, are you looking forward to Christmas or it's very cold out there? And you might even find someone will say, do you want a cup of tea or coffee before you even say a word? That's number two. Three, if there's a citizen advice information centre, give them a bell. Four, have a look and see if there are any parish hall or community council. Go along or ring them up. You often hear about meals on wheels, etc. as well. That's another one. And, another one that is a good idea. I'm sure it's been mentioned before. No money, but you'll get people, get talking to people, volunteering. Are there any charity shops around? So my advice is there's five. And I think that if you try, you mightn't even have to go through more than two or three of them. I only was lucky enough to go through one, you know?
Okay, well, listen, Brennan, it's great advice. And as you say, you know, there is a difference between living and existing. And you've found that switch. And I'm delighted to hear how well it is going for you. So enjoy the dance this afternoon and enjoy everything else you've got coming up. A very happy Christmas
Thanks a million,
to you.
Greg.
And it's been lovely speaking to you, Brenton. And I think the key message is, you know, you do have to sort of give yourself a kick up the bum too, maybe, and sort of say, well, what can I do about this situation?
Yeah.
You know, because we can
push yourself
we set barriers, don't we, for everything, be it going to the GP or doing this, that, and the other. We always try and avoid it. So sometimes we just have to put on our big boy
mind
pants
over matter as well, you know. Yeah.
All right, then. Yep. Take care of yourself, Brendan. Thank you very much indeed. Brendan Kilkenny there. All right. Someone's going to be hopefully £2,000 better off in the not too distant future. Time for our competition in association with McGee's Chemist. This week on the 9 till Noon Show, we've got a hamper worth over €500 to be won, courtesy of McGee's Chemist in Letterkenny and on McGee's.ie. It includes a large blank canvas purple three-piece gift set, a Be Perfect muted palette, and a Jimmy Choo ladies fragrance. There's also a 20 by 16 gallery wrapped canvas in there, so you can have your favourite photo wrapped in canvas and ready to hang on the wall. That's Friday's prize. Every day, though, this week, we're giving away a beautiful perfume or spray. Today, it's 50 millilitres of Chanel Coco Mademoiselle EDP spray for ladies. Okay, John Duggan joins us from Gwyddor. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm doing good. You're from Gwyddor. You're making a few pound in Falkara today.
Yeah, I'm working for Kelties in Falkara.
Oh, very good.
On the estate there.
Very good. Okay, John. Well, listen, I'm going to play a bit of music. It's a wee bit mixed up, right? It's a Christmas song.
Yeah.
And I hope that you get this correct. I'm not going to be like Lee Gooch in the morning. Do you know where he makes you think you might have it? And then he goes, and it ruins your day.
That's okay.
I'm going to try my best with you here, all right? So have a quick listen to this. You can play away at home or at work or wherever you are. See if you recognise it. Okay, here it is. It's about 12 seconds long, John. It sounds about the same backwards as it does forward. I know you're down the telephone line, John. Did you recognise it?
No, I didn't recognise it. To be honest, I didn't recognise it. No, it's a very bad line here.
It is a very bad line there. But, like, this is a band who think... They think Christmas shouldn't just be on December the 25th. They'd like it to be every single day all year round. Huh?
It's Slade, isn't it?
It's close, but if you even give me the type of the song, they wish what?
Wish it was Christmas every day.
Oh, very good. And yeah, I think it was on the tip of your tongue. You were about to tell us that Wizard sing that, weren't you?
Wizard, yeah.
That's, I know you were saying that. Just the line broke down just as he said Wizard. That's the story I'm sticking to.
That's
right, John. Well, now, come here. I have, thanks to McGee's, I have a 50 milliliter Chanel Coco Mademoiselle EDP spray. You can stick it on yourself, but there might be a lady in your life that might get better use out of it. So that's yours. You have that. Thanks so much for calling. And you now have a 1 in 5 chance of winning that brilliant €500 voucher. Hamper, thanks to McGee's, later in the week on Friday. So you've won already, and who's to say you could be Friday's winner too. It's been lovely chatting to you, John.
Thank you very much.
All right. Do you
Christmas.
Say,
thank you.
Yeah, do you want to say hello to anyone?
Yeah, just all the staff here at Kelsey's Lacara.
Okay, very good. For all your wireless temperature sensor needs.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye. We'll be joined by Chris Ashmore after this break.
Business Matters, in association with Atlantic Technological University, Donegal. Study for a Doctorate of Business Administration and obtain the highest level management qualification available. Visit atu.ie/DBA.
Okay, that means it's time to look forward to Highland Radio's Business Matters podcast and maybe catch up on some business news. And we welcome Chris Ashmore, it's a presenter into studio with us. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning,
Thanks,
Greg.
Thanks for calling in. I suppose just a few points before we get to the podcast itself. Good news for the local enterprise office?
Yes, an award given to them. It was the Excellence in Local Government Awards, and they won the Diversity and Inclusion Award. And this was for their program called Ambition. And essentially, it's a program to help encourage women to get involved in business. And it's there's a lot of supports out there. You might have heard during the week, of course, there were figures out about the gender pay gap, and there's a big push on to get more women to look into business and to maybe start something themselves. And here in Donegal, you know, there's all sorts of people opening up their own small businesses. There's lots of supports out there. The local enterprise office provides many of them, and this ambition program which they have, that is a great first step for people.
All right, we've been tracking, I suppose, new housing plans right across the county in consecutive weeks. Encouraging if they come to fruition, of course.
Indeed, but for after, well, we go back a few years ago, there was hardly any house building at all, and there seems to be a steady stream. But as you touched on there, from lodging the planning permission to actually getting people in the houses can be somewhat of a time lag. Nevertheless, this week, B&E Hone Construction Limited have lodged a planning application with Donegal County Council seeking permission to construct 21 houses in Falcarra. Meanwhile, MCF Construction Limited, they have been granted planning permission, subject to a number of conditions, which is par for the course, to build 48 new homes at Port Nisan in Ballyshannon, so that's good there. And also, Greg, a decision is due any day this week from the council in relation to a planning application to construct a caravan, motorhome and camping park at Kill in Dunfanaghy. So again, that's a tourism-related story. So obviously a vote of confidence if people think, you know, there's going to be. Absolutely.
It'll be a capacity all summer, you can be sure, if it comes to pass. I have a wee bit of an interest in this myself in terms of the amount of energy that wind produces on this island, because both north and south, at times, the majority of our energy needs are met by wind generation. Now, the issue is getting it to homes and storing it so that we, you know, when the wind's not blowing or when we need it, that it's there.
Yes.
But in terms of the infrastructure, at times, as I say, I think last week it was a record, something like 80% of the needs of the entire island were being met through wind generation. Chris, I'm sure you have more info, though.
Yeah, no, there's actually quite a nice little website you can go on. Anybody can just log on to. It's called windenergy.ie live, and you can get an update at any given time as to how much electricity is being generated. So I actually logged on to it. It was quite late last night, and it was reasonably blustery here in Donegal, and I looked on it, and at the time, 62% of the country's electricity was coming from wind energy. Now, I suppose, you know, you can look at it in a number of ways. Obviously, that's an off-peak time of the day. At peak hours, sometimes the figure will be less because just we can't produce it all. But the November wind energy report, now that this comes out every month, it showed that November of this year, wind energy comprised 37% of Ireland's electricity. And that was the third highest month for wind energy generation this year. It can peak, and as you mentioned there, there was a new record for wind generation this week. So it just shows, you know, it's becoming more and more important, increasing share of the market. And now,
well, at the moment, because we are live here as well, we have it up on screen for us. As you say, it's different at peak times and how the wind is blowing. We're in a bit of a trough at the moment, but still 12% of the island's current electricity demand is being met by wind alone. That's just right now. So it's not very breezy because it's kind of cool. No. So that would be on the low end of it. But still, and that's being used now because we're drawing it as it's being generated. So that says it's powering, at the moment, the equivalent of 454,000 Irish homes, or, if you're interested in this type of thing, 17.5 million decent mugs of tea.
Right.
So they have a little bit of a sense of humour as well, Chris, it seems.
And look, if we were sitting here 20 years ago, it might have been 1%. Mm. So, you know, there's been a huge increase. And,
as soon as they sort out the fact that they guarantee the wind energy providers the same price as we pay for coal or gas-burned generated energy. You know, because other than that, that's not saving us anything, right? If you love the environment, it's great, okay? But that's virtually free electricity at this stage because the infrastructure has been paid for, but we're still paying for that wind energy the exact same we pay for coal-fired burnt energy. And that's the problem. That's why the public aren't That's why I'm not doing cartwheels, Chris. But yeah, maybe I should be looking at the bigger picture.
It's moving in the right direction. But, you know, the main thing is when the wind's not blowing, we have to get electricity from somewhere else. And that's why we still have the fossil fuels.
I should be paying 12% less for the power now because it's being created by wind. That's my view.
But you may have seen also during the week a couple of electricity price cuts. So hopefully you'll see that from more of the utilities.
SSE electricity down 11%, I think, from the 1st of Feb for electricity. Right, anyway, that's the kind of fleet-footedness you get in this show now. We're just literally live tracking how much wind energy there is being created. But let's talk about this podcast, Chris. What's coming up? Who's your guest?
Guest this week is Inishowen entrepreneur and farmer Neil Crossan. Now, he's developed a thriving business based on farming worms. Now, when we think of farming, we normally think of cattle, sheep, crops, you know, pigs, whatever. He is based just outside Quigley's Point in Inishowen. And he is his company, Living Green, is the largest producer of worms in Ireland and the UK, sending them out to fishing tackle shops. He produces some 17 million worms here in Donegal. He's the biggest of his kind. And there's a byproduct of the whole worm production process. There's a product called worm cast, which he then uses for his organic compost.
That's the poo.
That's it. And it all mixes up. And then, as well as that, he's also growing wheat grass using the compost, some of it mixed with other compost. And then he does a wheat grass juice, and he also does turmeric and beetroot juice shots. So there's a lot happening. And I went down and visited the farm, and he showed me around the whole process and explained to me what it's all about.
What looks like mushroom tunnels is actually their worm tunnels. The worms, this is where we breed and keep the worms living. And they were all purpose-built for worms, as opposed to, they looked like mushroom tunnels, but there was never mushrooms in them or purpose-built.
So what exactly is inside them?
Each of the sheds has got about 300 6x4 wooden boxes, and they're tiered 4 high. Inside the box, there's 200 litres of bedding material for the worms, and then there's about 5 to 7 kilos of worms. We put in 5 kilos, and after 4 weeks, we'd hope we'd taken around 7 to 7.5 kilos of worms. They'll grow about an average about 0.1 of a gram per week. So they start out as about a centimetre long, but a millimetre thickness, and then they grow on to the size of a IKEA pencil, that sort of size of a thing.
Right.
It's a 4 week cycle. So when the worms go in, they have to be taken out of their bedding material because they've eaten it through now, and it's sort of their feces at this stage, and they won't be happy in it. And after an hour cup, they start to lose weight and condition, so they're really going backwards. So you've got to get them out in time to keep the process moving forward.
Were you surprised at the scale of the operation, Chris? Well, the fact that it was happening at all, but also too just the scale on the scale in which, to which it's happening.
Yeah, and you know, he's providing local employment down there. There were forklift trucks. The noise in the background there—that was the machinery. The worms all being sorted out, and the compost and the whole process. And then he's bagging the compost, the Living Green brand. And you know, if you go into a gardening store or many a hardware store, that's his product there, sold all over the country. So going in the right direction. And earlier this month, he won the overall county and best established enterprise awards at the Donegal Enterprise Awards. So he's certainly a man going places.
All right, then. Listen, Chris, thank you very much indeed. The podcast is broadcast on Sunday after the 6 o'clock news, but it's available right now for you on our website, highlandradio.com, and previous episodes are there for you as well if you wish to binge it a bit. And Chris, if anyone wants to contact you.
Yes, you can email me at businessmatters@highlandradio.com.
Still 12%, Chris. We're still providing 12%.
You'll be watching that all afternoon.
I'm going to have to take it off the screen. It's quite addictive. Right, okay. It's not changing, though, but it did refresh. Right, we have an update. It's now powering the equivalent of 12,709,000 TVs.
Sounds a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of tellies. Mm. Right, Chris, thanks very much indeed. Right, now, if you have your phone with you, sorry, if you bought a ticket for our car draw, we have a car worth over 30K. It's going to be given away next week. And we will be, we're going to ring someone now to see if they, we're going to ring someone now to see if they are available to take this call. Hello, are you there? No, it's not. That's the right. Have we got an answer yet? We're going to have another rollover because we tried to ring a listener and the phone was ringing and then it went to the answer machine. And unfortunately, that listener has missed out on the opportunity of winning €2,000. The phone, remember, and it's been very, very clear, the phone has to be answered within a set amount of rings for the person to win the money. And we tried and we got it through on air. But unfortunately, the person didn't answer the phone, which is heartbreaking, but there's not much else we can do. The person's name and number, goes back into the draw drum. And we're going to have to do it all again a little later on. It's just like the secret sound. If you don't get the answer, unfortunately, you get the And we really did try to get through to that person. But the phone wasn't answered. And that means we have a rollover. But some comfort in that the name goes back into the draw drum. What it means, though, later on, someone is going to be ringing, fingers crossed. It's awful because you think it's ringing and you think it's been answered and it goes to the message minder. But that is it. And that is the way we've been doing it from the get-go. And it's just a reminder that you have to make sure that you have that phone right beside you if you can to answer the call. So it rolls over. Again, I really wanted to give that away, but it rang, went to message minder. I did think for a split second that it had been answered, but unfortunately it was the message minder and I had to pull the fader then too so as not to divulge anyone's private information. But unfortunately, it's another rollover. James Grannell is a data analyst with the Irish Seismic Network. He joins us on the programme now. Good morning, James.
How's it going, Greg?
Not too bad at all. I was contacted by people, I think it was Monday anyway, or Sunday night, sorry. It was Monday morning. People had heard what they described as a loud bang or a bit of a rumble, James. And as it turns out, it was a relatively minor earthquake, but an earthquake nonetheless.
That's true, exactly, yeah. On Sunday morning, early enough, about 6:45 or 6:50, there was a magnitude 1.3 earthquake, and that was about 5 kilometres east of Kerrykeel. And we got a couple of reports from people, about 5 reports from people, mainly near Kerrykeel, that they had, like you said, they had heard this loud bang coming from up underneath the ground and had woken them up, and some of them were pretty sure it was an earthquake already because, you know, the people would have been experienced with this stuff in this area, as, you know, earthquakes are kind of common enough in Donegal, and certainly Fanlip Peninsula has seen plenty of them over the past 10 years, right?
And a deep one and low level for, I think the last one we had was around about 3.1. So this is quite relatively deep. Is it at 5 kilometres and its magnitude at 1.3? Not insignificant, but particularly given its depth, quite minor from in terms of an on-the-surface experience?
Yes, certainly, right. Yeah, I think most people would have definitely heard it. I think the shaking wouldn't have been very strong at all. I think the one you're referring to earlier on was back in May, there was magnitude 2.5, and that was in Glenveagh National Park. And lots of people felt that, and certainly felt the shaking, and also definitely heard it as well. So one of the things about trying to estimate the depth at which earthquakes has occurred, it's much easier to get the latitude and the longitude, you know, where on the map it occurred. Getting the depth is much harder. So this, when we say 5 kilometres, that's a rough estimate, you know, but certainly it wouldn't be like 20, 30 kilometres deep happening. It'd be close to the surface.
And funny enough, I think it was actually on Monday we were speaking to a lady who was encouraging more people to have equipment installed in their house. What are they, strawberry shakes?
Raspberry shakes.
I'm just thinking of a takeaway now at this stage. I went into a takeaway once and asked for a pink shake, and they were like, what do you mean? I don't know, I always get that wrong, but anyway, the more of those that we have, the more accurate our data is, presumably.
Exactly. Yeah, okay. So the program you're referring to is a program called Quake Shake.
That's
run by the Dublin Institute for Advanced Studies, and my colleague Laura Riley, she runs that.
That's Laura.
And so there's it must have been, yeah, so the instruments she's talking about are raspberry shakes, and they're very, very small seismometers that can be easily installed in a household, for example. And with this particular earthquake that happened on Sunday morning, I just had a quick look, and there's a raspberry shake in Stranroller, and there's one in Sligo town, and there's one in Belfast, and they all saw this earthquake as well. So that's as far as about 120 kilometres away Belfast would be. So that's quite good. And actually, with the Raspberry Shakes alone, you could actually locate this earthquake, which is another interesting thing. So the more of these that are kind of come online, the more accurately one can locate earthquakes, certainly.
Brilliant stuff, James. Thanks for your time. James Granell there, data analyst with the Irish Seismic Network. That 1.3 magnitude earthquake struck Fannad on Sunday the 10th of December at 6:48 a.m. So some of you might have felt it. Some of you might have been up and about and around the place. Well, there you have it. That's what it was. Right, we were talking about loneliness as part of Wellness Wednesday. Loneliness, this caller says, I don't have anyone to hang out with, etc. I've been on my own for far too long. My friends moved on now, married with kids. Nobody calls or texts me. I'm so lonely. I need friends, most importantly now, so I don't suffer with loneliness and boredom. Well, if it might help, if you want to pass on in pure confidence where you're from and your age and your interests, you know, maybe we can try and signpost you to something in your area, because there's lots of people in the exact same boat who come together with others and don't feel that way any longer. Hi, does anyone know where you can leave used crutches and support boots? Is it still the case that HSE don't often look for them back because they're seen as used items? But is there anywhere central that you can locate them so that they do get used? So we've a set of crutches and a support boot there, and the caller wants to know, you know, where's a good space to leave it? Where's a good spot to leave it? Right, Father Edward Gallagher is the parish priest in Mulville. Father Edward, thank you very much for joining us. Unfortunately, it's under these circumstances, but indeed, we appreciate Greg. Your time thank nonetheless, you. Father. The Gardaí and you and all of us now are joining in appealing for information after the church sacristy was ransacked and damage was caused to a safe. Tell us when, what happened, Father Edward, if you don't mind.
Yes, as far as I'm aware, the guards may have been on their way to another call regarding one of the other burglaries, and they came upon Ballinacrae Church, which is one of our isolated churches in the parish, and found lights on as they were passing. So they went in, saw that the main doors of the church had been prized open, the sacristy door had been kicked open, and they may have brought tools with them or tools that they'd already stolen from a previous burglary and attempted to prise the safe out of the wall of the sacristy. May have used an angle grinder, tried to cut the hinges of it, but we don't keep money in the church. The chalices and other sacred vessels were left untouched. The various places where we leave things, cupboards and whatnot, were opened and left open. Some filing cabinets upstairs were opened and papers scattered. But the main damage is to the wall there where the safe was. A lot of upset more than anything. Thankfully, nothing appears to have been taken. But I'm more upset or concerned about, you know, the sanctuary of the church building was defiled, but I think the sanctuary of various family homes around the parish that night, sometime between maybe 3 and 5 a.m., were defiled. Maybe up to 8 different incidents happened between cars been broken into and Greencastle Golf Club and places around Shrove and elsewhere around near Kennego Bay. So, and particularly the family that lost Christmas presents and some birthday money as well.
And I think still, even though we hear about this, thankfully still it's a shock when a church is targeted like that. But is it a surprise any longer? Is anything sacred? We've seen, and unfortunately, this happened in the middle of the night, but we've seen in other parishes whereby, you know, that open door policy, if the churches happen to be looked at, a greater focus on CCTV, because nowadays, even a church isn't safe from people going in and causing extensive damage. Now, I do appreciate this was the middle of the night and they had to break in, but do you take my wider point, Father Edward?
I do indeed, and you know, it's very sad that I have to maybe consider now, you know, cameras for the church and the sacristy area and other two churches in the parish as well, that even this has to be considered nowadays, you know, very, very upsetting. That, you know, ultimately it's an evil that's abounding around when people are doing these sort of things, and as I say again, upsetting families, you know, their homes being defiled in this way, the sanctuary of the family home and you come down in the morning and find that someone's been in your home. It's really, really unsettling and upsetting. And also for the church, of course, community as well. Thankfully, you know, none of the, when they come to church the next time, they not see anything has happened. It's happened in the sacristy area. You know, the tabernacle was left untouched. But as I say, it's very upsetting for everyone in the general community, and also causes fear. You know, God, thank God nobody came upon these men or whoever they were, the gang, in the middle of the night. Because something worse could have happened.
Yeah, of course. And there's that sense, I mean, obviously in some cases there's loss, but it is that sense of violation and your security, you know, being encroached on. Okay, Father, so hopefully anyone with information, these are clearly a group of individuals that are... they don't really have any moral compass, whether it's someone's house, whether it's a church. The sooner they're brought to the attention of Gardaí, the better. Father Edward Gallagher, thank you very much for helping us get the message out there, and hopefully it
thank you, Greg, for ringing us.
All right, take care. Thank you very much indeed. So St. Columba's Church is in Ballinacraymaville. It was targeted on Monday, December 11th, in the early hours of Monday, so you could sort of say Sunday night, Monday morning. Sometime between midnight and 3:25, and it seems there was a group of individuals who were really quite active in the area at that time. So, as I say, the sooner they are dealt with by the Gardaí and the courts, the better. Right. Caller says, do you know that there are 500 housing bodies in the 26 counties? Imagine, all these housing bodies will be getting a chunk of money from government. I appreciate that some of these bodies will be voluntary bodies, but how many are run by very well-paid staff? Are they giving value for money? I think that your radio station is in a good position to ask our housing minister some hard questions about the housing budget and who is monitoring value for money here and how many houses have been delivered by the 500 housing bodies. Well, it seems in terms of housing or any sort of... It's hard to get access to anyone that kind of also has an interest in the defective concrete scandal, unfortunately. A caller says, GPs, now they charge you €50 and send you to casualty. There's no real doctors. A friend went in with pain in their ear. It was earwax. It was a young doctor, and they had to ask another doctor what to do. They then sent them to the ED. If the doctors just did their jobs, ED wouldn't be so crowded. The older doctors are trained, but the younger doctors are not. Now, that's a big, sweeping statement. I wouldn't fully subscribe to that. Look, you can go into your... There's lots of places that you can get your ear shringed outside of the ED. But anyway, I'm not saying it didn't happen, but... and also, I don't. We can't say that that's the case of everyone's experience with the general practice. What about the landlords housing these asylum seekers? It's them that are encouraging people into the country. Many are councillors or TDs. Right, okay, that's what some people feel. Let me play a couple of requests too. We're heading towards the end of the show. Donna Curran in Castlefin, who works in McFadden's Letterkenny. A big happy 50th birthday from all the McNaughties in Castlefin. Happy birthday, Donna. And good morning. Can you wish a very happy 21st birthday to Brina Duffy, who's working in the Market House in Clonmany today, from all her family and friends. Thank you. Have a lovely day, Brina. And you are there working in the Market House in Clonmany. Okay, right. Tomorrow on the show, we have another fantastic prize, thanks to McGee's, to give away. Later on today, unfortunately, I didn't have success in my cash draw call. It rang. We thought it was answered, but it went to message minder. So frustrating. But anyway, look at that, money rolls over now. Someone later today will be in with a chance to win $3,000 in cash. So please make sure you have your phone close by and try and answer it. Okay, we're back with you on air tomorrow morning at 9 from me, Greg Hughes, and the team. Have a lovely Wednesday.